Thanks, Nathan. Good morning again, and welcome back. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Tom Hall. Dr. Skip Sanders took over the helm of the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African American History and Culture 4 years ago. He retired from that position last week, and this morning he joins me in Studio A to talk about what lies ahead for this unique and important institution. Skip Sanders, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
Always a pleasure to see you.
I'm always used to hosting you in the museum.
That's right. I usually come over to you. Now you've come to us, and we appreciate it. And we very much appreciate your spending your first day of retirement hanging around on Maryland Morning. And I'm delighted. Your last official day at the museum was just last Friday.
I couldn't think of a better person to be with.
Well, so. I'm flattered, and I appreciate it. And it will get you everywhere, by the way. Flattered. Now, you took over the Lewis about 4 years ago. And the museum at that time was in a fairly precarious position. I mean, there were some financial problems. You had some harsh language in some of the legislative audits. But you've been able to turn it around in these 4 years.
Well, I'd like to say 180, but I can't say that. What I've learned is museums will always be in a somewhat precarious position until they get to be old and known like MoMA or, you know, some of our really great local ones that have been around a century. But I think that we've succeeded.
And we should say, by the way, this is the 10th anniversary year for the Lewis Museum.
10th year, that's right. Yeah. So that is a great milestone for us. But I think what we've done together as a team has been to really establish a vision for the museum and a real strong sense of direction. And then the staff really has proven to the city and itself that it is creative, energetic, and quite active. We had a year this year, just think of all the programs, Tom, that we for the 10th anniversary. And then, I mean, if you want to think about some culminating points, we had three. I said, if you asked me what were my favorite, I'd have to talk about Misty Copeland, but I'd have to talk about our great gala, but I'd have to talk about, you know, yeah. So, yeah.
But these are events that have been happening at the Lewis. Of course, this coming Saturday, you've got the Morgan Choir singing, and
yes.
It helped kick off the Black History Month
Black History
activity.
Month, and it also ties right into the Ruth Starr Rose exhibit that we have, because so much of that was about the life of Eastern Shore African American and Marylanders, and also
right.
The spirituals and all of that. So that's a great tie.
It seems to me, from my vantage point, that one of the things that has definitely changed over the last few years since you've been there is that the Lewis Museum as a location, as a destination for things other than just the exhibitions. Misty Copeland's a perfect example. She's the prima ballerina of the New York City Ballet, first African-American dancer to be elevated to that position. I mean, she's, you know, become an international celebrity. When she came to town, she chose to speak at the Lewis,
yes.
Not someplace else.
Yes. And that was wonderful for us. I'll never forget, I was talking to one of the people, Arnold Williams, who was one of our auditors, and he said, my wife and I were driving down President Street. We saw this line all the way around the museum. We got on the phone. We said, something's going on at the museum. There's a line all the way around. And I went, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good to see lines. Lines are good things
lines
in the museum
are good
world.
Things, yes.
What do you think the impact of the new National Museum of African American History is going to be on the Lewis Museum here in Baltimore? That National Museum scheduled to open later this year in Washington.
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. You know, I think the old Chinese saying about the crisis also is an opportunity. It depends on how you position yourself and how you look at it. Luckily, this museum has always said its focus was Maryland African American history and culture, and really digging deep into the Maryland roots, which supply so many of the great heroes, I mean, that we know of, Marshall and, you know, Tubman, all of them, Frederick Douglass. So if we continue, I think, to really focus that way, we will always fulfill the key mission, which was to really be a point of unity and learning for Marylanders first, all the Maryland communities. And I think the National Museum, of course, is going to be showing things on the full magnitude national scope. So if we don't try to compete with that, but really tell our story, I think people will be interested. And if we can form an alliance with Lonnie Bunch and just, you know, make sure that he and the Smithsonian have a way of telling people, check out this regional museum that's the second largest regional museum in the country and really get into the Maryland story more deeply. I think that'll work out well.
You got a new curator there, a gentleman named Charles Bethea, and it appears that he's taking a new curatorial direction. For example, he has declared this year, 2016, is the year of the black male. You've got exhibitions that are, one of them is currently up there by Devin Allen, a photographer whose photograph ended up on the cover of Time magazine after the unrest in April. Does that represent a striking departure from what you have been doing over these last 4 years? Is that what we can expect moving forward?
I think what it really represents is an additional kind of perspective that we had. When we were working on a strategic plan, we realized that we could be better at showing how relevant history was to the present. And of course, with the unrest that occurred in our wonderful city, that just drove that point home to us that if you're going to be an African American museum, you've got to speak to the issues that keep bubbling up and boiling up in our society and keep us from being the one people that we say we all want to be. And so when we focused on relevance, all of those things just started to come about. Devin Allen being there, those photographs, third amateur photographer ever to have his photograph taken for a cover for Time magazine, 26 years old, his passion for working with the community, his love for his city. So that really cemented our belief that we could take that first floor space and actually make an additional gallery out of it, combined with the museum shop, and allow people to come in there for free and really look at topics and issues that are hitting current and have a current impact, but then begin through our programming to show the tie between that and what was upstairs in the permanent exhibition galleries and the temporary gallery. And it's worked out beautifully. So when Charles came, I mean, he sort of lit up because that's the direction he wanted to go in. He wanted to show that museums need to be relevant and need to speak to the present for the past and vice versa. And that's so when, and the other thing that happened, and all of this in a sense was just providential. I don't want to say coincidental, providential, because Calvin Butler approached us right after the gala.
He's the CEO of
BGE, and he wanted to do this special program called Men of Courage, which really focuses on the plight of African-American males. We kicked off the year, the new year, right in January with that Men of Courage program by sponsored by him and the Ford Fund. And then that led right away to Charles's declaration, this is going to be the year of the African-American male.
Are there challenges that the Lewis Museum faces? And as we finish up, we only got about 30 seconds. Are they challenges that are unique to the Lewis because it concentrates on African-American history? Or are they basically the same as the challenges that you know the BMA faces in the Walters and the other large museums in town?
I think both of your statements are true. Older museums, which have established themselves, make it. But a young museum, 10 years old, is always going to be financially challenged until it's well established and has philanthropy coming to it, really.
Yeah, and 10 years, it's a good milestone, but it's still, you're not a teenager yet.
It's still in diapers.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Well, Skip Sanders, best of luck to you. You've done a great job at the Lewis, and we look forward to hearing other great things as you move to the next step.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks for being such a great friend of the museum.
Well, it's our pleasure to be so. Dr. Skip Sanders, he is now the former director of the Reginald F. Lewis Museum of Maryland African-American History and Culture. The current special exhibition at the Lewis is a collection of paintings by Ruth Starr Rose. It's called Revelations of African-American Life in Maryland and the World. It'll be there until April. You've got about 6 more weeks to see the exhibition of photographs by Devin Allen. That's called Awakenings in a New Light. That's a collection of photographs of the riots and uprising last April. Lots of stuff going on for Black History Month at the Lewis. For example, as we mentioned, the Morgan State Choir will be giving a concert there at 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon. We've got all the details on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. That'll do it for us today. Coming up Wednesday, we continue our conversations with candidates for mayor of Baltimore. David Warnock will join me to share his thoughts for the future of our city. And I'll speak to the former pop music critic of the Baltimore Sun, Rashad Olison, about his new memoir. Until then, for Nathan Sterner and the entire Maryland Morning team, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.